niggas linking up. Trail niggas linking up. Link up, my nigga, let's link up.
To the Link Up Podcast, another week in wrestling. Of course, I am your host, Ron the Don, my co-host, Mr. Allen Xander. And I hear it was a great weekend for you, man.
Yeah, we had the Wildcat Wrestling for Life show. We had Kevin Nash pop out. He was really cool, you know. We kind of chatted up and things like that. But overall, the show was good. We had some new tag team champions. Shout out to Jay Spade and Buku Dao, Slime Season. Them boys got the tag team championships off of Fly Dev. And that match was actually pretty good. It was a tables match. It was an elimination tables match. And I was pretty much like security, you know, and I was running all around, literally running everywhere, freaking picking up tables after every table spot. I'm just going over there, picking up tables and stuff. It's crazy. But it was a good match, though. Good night overall.
Just know I'll be your biggest hater once you go through a table, man. I always wanted to go through a table, bro.
You going to hate that I go through a table? You going to hate on me that I went through a table? I mean, yeah, bro. If anything, bro, I'm a hate on you because your back going to be feeling better than mine. So I'm going to be the one hating on you at that point.
All right, man. It was an exciting wrestling week, not only in Wildcat Sports, but in the land of WWE, man. We're going to get it started and review Friday Night SmackDown, which started off with the coronation of Queen Nia Jax, you know, somebody who last week on the pod, we gave her flowers. And she was looking to call out Bayley to make her intentions known for the championship. But it seems like for the time being, Bayley's going to be going in a new direction with Piper Niven and Chelsea Green. Are you invested into a storyline with that?
If I gotta be honest, it's really, I'm looking at this as simply filler. It's just filler. I mean, I mean, look, I could be wrong. And they might put on a banger of a match. But, like, the direction that they're going, you can literally tell it's just filler.
Most definitely. We both know Nia Jax waiting on the other side, you know, for Bayley. But in the meantime, Bayley got to have something to do. So it's definitely interesting. Also, you know, LA Knight was backstage looking for Logan Paul. So they were planting seeds there. And then Carmelo Hayes again interrupted him. So we could be setting up for a triple threat match for the United States Championship. That's exciting. We also got Kevin Owens, you know, coming down to the ring, trying to call out the bloodline. And then Paul Heyman came out to beg and plead with him that he did not want to do this. And what was interesting to me, two things. Backstage, when Solo and Paul Heyman were talking, he said that they got Cody Rhodes on lock and he don't even know it. And the second thing was, when Paul Heyman was talking to Kevin Owens, he said that they're going around hiring criminals to join the bloodline. Now, if you know, on social media, a lot of people feel like this was a subliminal message as far as bringing in Jacob Fatu, which, of course, you know, he went to jail for a little robbery case. So, you know, did Paul Heyman say it on purpose or not? We don't know. But what do you think about this storyline and how it's developing so far?
Him saying criminals is definitely not a coincidence. I'm pretty sure if it's not one way, it's the other. If Jacob Fatu doesn't end up joining the bloodline, I mean, they might have him wait as far as, like, I wouldn't say as far as SummerSlam. Nah. See, what I was about to say is not going to make sense. I would just say that I could see Jacob Fatu joining with Solo, but you kind of do, like, risk that one thing that like we was talking about, it him overshadowing Solo. So if you bring him in like too early, you run that risk. So honestly, that's just something that we're gonna have to wait and see. I'm happy to see it, and I know everybody happy to see Jacob come in, because it is a signed deal. He is signed with WWE, but it's just a matter of when they're going to pull the trigger with bringing him in.
Yeah, it's definitely exciting to see. One thing about Paul Heyman, as he always says, it's not a prediction, it's a spoiler. So I definitely don't think what he said was a coincidence at all. But following that, we got, you know, the debut of Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa teaming for the first time ever in WWE, taking on the Street Profits, in which they won this match pretty decisively. And next week, we get in the anointing of Tonga Loa into the bloodline. So that's going to be interesting to see where that story goes from there. And to cap it all off, the big story coming out of the night, they teased it all throughout the show. AJ Styles had a big announcement in which he wanted to address everybody in the WWE universe. He came out, powder blue suit, you know, basically flirting with retirement a little bit. And we seen this movie before, and we're going to get into that in a little bit. But he called Cody Rhodes out there, you know, had Cody Rhodes join him in the ring. And then once it seemed like AJ Styles was ready to hang up the boots, had his hand raised by Cody Rhodes, boom, hit him with the clothesline. So now it's looking like this going to be, you know, possibly the rivalry of the summer with AJ Styles and Cody Rhodes following the fake retirement. What are your thoughts on this angle?
So if it wasn't clear that AJ Styles is a heel, it's definitely clear now, because during like WrestleMania season, he was kind of leaning towards a tweener, which is both a babyface and a heel, kind of like neither or. So now it's just like it's out there. It's solidified. But the way I see this going, this is just the way it's going that I've already intended. Cody's going to retain and go on about his business. What more can I say? Call me a Cody Mark all day. I mean, call me biased. I don't care. It's just, I don't see AJ Styles coming out of this with a win. Now, do I see him getting like a good run out of this? Yes, maybe. And honestly, you might even like bring something back. Because I know when he was going against John Cena, he had this whole thing of beat up John Cena. Now you can have beat up Cody Rhodes. You know what I mean? You bring the OC in and y'all just attack Cody Rhodes every week. You know, so hey.
That'll be great. But The Rock, if you're watching this podcast, which I know you are, I found a Cody crybaby on here.
Talking about me? You said I'm a Cody crybaby?
Uh-huh.
No comment. Next next discussion. We not going there, buddy.
So talking about AJ Styles and his false retirement. Somebody else who was infamous for false retirement was one Mark Henry in his, of course, salmon-colored jacket. Mark Henry currently let his AEW contract run out. Doesn't look like he's re-signing or has interest in re-signing. And he came out with quite a few words yesterday involving the storyline between him and John Cena and the false retirement, in which he said he was originally planned to win the WWE Championship from John Cena, but decline because of health concerns with his body and not being able to carry that load. Do you think the history of WWE, you know, the Hall of Pain, you know, all of that, do you think it would have been different back then if Mark Henry won the title after all of that?
Oh, most definitely. Now, one thing I will say is if they did this segment around, like, I guess 2011, when he was running that world championship type of deal, it would have worked. He could have made it work, and that right there would have been a crazy domino effect, because who knows, if Mark Henry would have took that title from him, maybe John Cena does become 17-time world champion, you know, because he has to win it back, you know. Or maybe, you know, they do have him, you know, with a longer reign, or maybe he does stay with the WWE in some way, shape, or form as like a producer or something like that. Maybe. You never know.
I'm not gonna lie, bro. Like, that era in Mark Henry's career, like, that was some of my favorite. That was like one of my favorite characters, like the whole Hall of Pain gimmick, like just him. I got a lot left in the tank. Like,
oh,
Mark
trust
Henry,
me,
like
he got me. I thought that he was gonna be done too. I'm over here like, dang, Mark Henry really about to retire. Like I literally like, so I vividly remember being at my grandfather's house and I was watching Raw. I see this man literally about to retire. I'm like, oh, dang, Mark about to retire. And I see him that World Strongest Son. I'm like, damn, I got bamboozled, bro. Like, man, I was so hot. But hey, they got the reaction that they wanted out of people. So I'm pretty sure a lot of people felt that same way.
He got us all, man. I was definitely fooled. He was crying real tears and everything.
Yep.
So
honestly, hot take, he should have won an Oscar for that. I ain't even gonna lie.
Something. He should have got something.
Emmy,
not just no Slammy.
BET Award, something, bro. Something, man. Slammy. get the man something for that, man. Cause that was too good, man.
That'll definitely go down as a classic segment in WWE history. Now, with that all being said, you know, off the fact that he was actually originally scheduled to win the championship. Now, I know you said that you think Cody Rhodes is going to retain no matter what. Now that this been said, does this put any doubt in your mind that AJ Styles could walk out the champion and Cody loses?
I mean, now that you brought that up, I mean, I could see it happening. And that's just podcast me coming out. Bias me? It ain't gonna happen. I'm sorry. It's just, bro, you can put anybody in there with Cody Rhodes right now. He is not getting rid of that title no time soon. Call me a mark. I don't care. Call me bias. I don't care.
All right, man. Well, as Cody continues his reign, we're going to continue to pod and jump into the Monday Night Raw reviews, which started off hot, man. You know, no pun intended. Liv Morgan makes her way down to the ring, you know, continuing the Liv Morgan revenge tour. Dominic Mysterio came down to the ring, and it got a little spicy, man. I don't know if Dominic doing this on purpose, you know, trying to play to all the innocent guy, I don't want it. Because, you know, that's how you get the ladies when you act like you don't want it. So, I mean, maybe he doing that. But, you know, Liv is trying to seduce him and get closer to him. And she almost got him, but was interrupted by Finn Balor, which to me was very interesting. Because she hasn't just been talking to Dom. Or JD, she's been talking to Finn Balor too. So what do you think of this whole situation?
I don't know if you peeked, but before Liv Morgan went out the ring and she touched his hair and whatever, he broke character. I don't know if you peeped that. He broke character.
That boy
bro.
Was smiling.
He was not supposed to laugh, bro. I know he was not supposed to laugh. But, I mean, the way I see it, I mean, who knows? Maybe they kind of got some love triangle situation going on. Who knows? I don't know, man. Either that or just something. I just don't know. But one thing I do know for sure is Damian Priest, as far as your days in the Judgment Day, you better count them, buddy, because it ain't looking too good for you, man. That's all I got to say. I think in the next couple of months, he's going to be out.
Oh, yeah, him and Rhea both. But, as far as, like, the whole him smirking thing, I actually think that was on purpose to give a little bit of, like, I like this, like, you know, just like to plant them seeds. I mean, me personally, I think it was on purpose.
Yeah.
But after that, we got a great match between Sheamus and Ludwig Kaiser, in which Kaiser actually beat Sheamus. Do you see Kaiser going on and potentially having a good singles run in the near future?
Oh, yeah, definitely. What I can also see is, too, I wouldn't be surprised if they did a three-match series with Sheamus and Kaiser. I would not be surprised. Sheamus takes the second one, and then you got Kaiser and Sheamus at Clash of the Castle. That right there, and honestly, you can even put like a stipulation on it. Do something like, I mean, see, me personally, I would like to see an Iron Man or two out of three falls. But hey, that's just me. But yeah, he definitely has a promising future in a singles run. Now, for his former partner, we haven't really seen much of him, but I don't know if he's out with an injury or anything like that.
Giovanni?
Yeah. He's out with an injury right now, huh?
I don't know for sure. I just know that he got kicked out of Imperium and drafted to
Yeah,
SmackDown,
he's
so
out.
I
Yeah,
don't
I
know.
know he's out of Imperium. That's why I was saying former. But
But
yeah, honestly, as far as his run, yeah, I could see it though. I wouldn't be surprised if you put a mid-card title on him somewhere down the line. Once Gunther finally captures that World Heavyweight Championship, because like I said, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. When he gets that World Heavyweight Championship, I wouldn't be surprised if Kaiser gets that Intercontinental Championship. Or they both have the tag team championships. Who knows? I could see both of them going on like a power trip and just taking all the gold, honestly, bro, if you ask me.
you're gonna have to show me. I'm gonna have to see it to believe it.
Well, I
I
wouldn't
don't
say a
know.
full power trip, but like, but you know, like how like I'm not making them a comparison at all. But you see how Stone Cold and Triple H had the heavyweight title and the other one had the IC. That's just
Yeah.
how I see it with them too. And see, bro,
Now I know
I
what you
knew you
meant,
asked me
but.
because I'm over here comparing them to the two-way power trip. No, I'm not doing that. Them boys are
I was
nowhere
gonna
near that.
say,
Because
at
them
all.
boys, Steve Austin and Triple H, it's just them boys had that. I had these new kids saying nowadays that aura. They had that aura. Ain't nothing
That
touching them, bro.
All right, man, moving on. We had a segment between Chad Gable and the Alpha Academy after last week. He was disappointed in everybody, and then he came out. Sammy came out, basically tried to convince the Alpha Academy once again why they should turn against Chad Gable, in which this saw Chad get mad at Tozawa and Maxine, made them get out the ring. They're standing on the apron. Sammy and Chad go at it, bump Otis into Maxine and Tozawa, which Maxine ended up twisting her ankle. And Otis, not seeing who pushed him, he thought it was Sammy. And then he attacked Sammy, which led to Gable being so proud of his team, even thought Maxine and Tozawa was faking their injuries. Where do you see things going from here with the Alpha Academy? You think Otis is going full heel now, or is he going to see the light someday?
I will say this: the day that Otis sees the light, you're gonna hear a fat pop, bruh. It's gonna be a big ass pop. Them boys, when I tell you that crowd's gonna pop for Otis, kind of like I'm not gonna say like how Sammy got a pop when he hit Roman with that chair, but it's gonna be something like that. You know what I mean? It's gonna be something of that stature because they're building up to it. They're doing all the right things as far as building up to it and not just doing it just right away. These types of things, these type of stories, gotta build them. Gotta build them. And as soon as it starts to crumble, trust and believe me, you gonna know.
Right. I'm definitely invested in this story. The crowd loves Otis. They love Maxine. You know, Tozawa gets love every time he hit the little dance. So I feel
Now
like
see.
when they finally.
Hate to cut you off. This is my only issue. Once you pull the trigger, where do you go with them three? That's probably why they haven't yet.
That's true, but I could see it. Maxine, she's gonna, as long as she improves in the ring, she got to work on that, because she's not there yet. And you know, she's working, she definitely improved since she first been in there. But she's gonna be a single star because, like, everybody seemed to, like, you know, love her.
Yeah.
And then, as far as Otis and Tozawa, Otis could probably be a single star on his own. Man, I don't know how successful he would be, like, as far as getting like mid-card titles, excuse me. But or they him and Tozawa could be a tag team, so I don't know. Or they could feud, like I've been hitting that Team Gable. They could feud with them for a little bit. Or
Oh
if
yeah,
Gable
because I
gets
ain't
the
gonna
champ.
lie. Once they finally turn on like once they finally turn like on Gable's not gonna be by himself for long. He's got
Right.
something up his sleeve, bruh. I'm pretty sure he got something up himself his sleeve with them Creed brothers. And
And
even
I.
what's her face, Ivy Nile. You can even bring her on to replace
Right.
Maxine. And she can go after Maxine. You know what I mean?
And I
So
think if Gable gets that title, then he's finished with Sammy. Otis is right there. That's
yeah.
another thing.
Yeah.
But moving on, we got to see Bron Breakker, Ricochet, and after this, he was about to do more damage to Ricochet, but Ilya Dragunov came out. And next week, we're getting a banger, ladies and gentlemen. Bron Breakker versus Ilya Dragunov on free cable. That's going to be one to see, especially if you was watching in the NXT days. So I hope they get the time that they need. Most likely, it's going to end up in interference because neither man can lose right now. But I'm excited to see, like, where this, you know, three-man rivalry is headed.
Yeah. Yeah, and this goes back to what you were saying as far as, like, the finish. It can't be a clean finish on neither side because, for one, neither party can afford a loss right now. So the way I see it, have Ricochet come out as Dragunov's about to win, and he attacks Bron Breakker. And then you got Dragunov being like, hey, yo, what the hell? Like, I was just about to win. Is that in the third? And then it starts some tension between them two. And then they start going at it. And then you might be able to have a match with Ricochet and Dragunov. And then Bron Breakker just comes out and does the same thing he does already, spearing both of them, hitting everybody with them Cora Jade and Deuce Spears, bro. Them Cora Jade influenced spears. That's what I call them. Cora Jade influenced spears. I'm telling you, bro. Because that's exactly who's on his mind when he's doing them spears.
Did you see that video of him, like, waiting in the crowd and getting into, like, a stance?
Yeah.
That was insane. Like, he got crazy speed.
As soon as he did that spot off the ropes, he came in, boom, speared him. I'm like, damn.
That was crazy.
Serious.
Continuing everything with, like, the Judgment Day storyline, we got Braun Strowman versus Carlito, in which Braun Strowman beat Carlito. But everybody in the Judgment Day outside of Damian Priest came out. Even Dom came out. It doesn't look like he's injured anymore. He started fighting Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman chased him around. And right when it looked like Braun Strowman was finally about to get his hands on Dominic Mysterio, who came out? Liv Morgan to protect him. And because of her, Braun left him alone and ended up getting beat in a 4-against-1 attack. And after that, Dom was outside of the ring, Liv Morgan approaching potentially for another kiss, who interrupts again? Finn Balor. Now, I don't know about you, but Finn Balor is starting to look like the biggest blocker in sports entertainment right now.
Yeah.
I got to keep it PG, you know, for YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah. He's definitely doing that C-blocking, how they call it, man. He's definitely doing that for real, because it doesn't. But then again, maybe Dominic is just, he don't want that. You know, maybe he doesn't want it at the same time. But, hey, I don't know. It's like the Judgment Day are like, they have a direction, but some things are still confusing. Like, for instance, the whole Carlito situation. That's still, like, very confusing because you don't know. You know what I mean? Like, is he in or is he out? Like, and then you got Carlito in a program with Rey Mysterio on top of that. Like, it's just a lot of stuff happening at once with them. So it's just like, once they get like some more direction, then the story is gonna sail. It's gonna sail. Smooth sailing.
And just gonna run through a little other stuff that was on the show. Finn Balor defeated Dragon Lee due to Carlito interference. We got the debut of Kiana James. She beat Natalya in her debut match, in which we saw Natalya get frustrated and was met by Sonya Deville, who's still trying to make that faction. And then we also had an appearance from our women's tag team champions, Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair. And they went toe-to-toe with Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark for the championships, in which was interrupted by Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. So that's setting up for a triple threat, you know, tag team match down the line. And then we saw Jey Uso come out, ignite the crowd, you know, do the wave. And basically, he said that his intentions are clear and he wants to be Mr. Money in the Yeet, according to him. How realistic is this?
I want to see it. Like, I want to see it. I want to see this bad. Like, I want to see Jey Uso finally get that shine. Like, they need to just finally pull that trigger. And I know I speak for a lot of people, a lot of other podcasters, whoever. I speak for a lot of people. They need to pull that trigger when it comes to Jey Uso. Just do it. I mean, honestly, the Money in the Bank, and this goes back to what I was saying in the past, what, two or three pods that we did? That's like the next best thing for him right now, is to put that Money in the Bank contract on him. Because at this point, he's the first to pretty much say that, and that he's going to enter into the match, which I'm pretty sure he still might have to qualify, but he's already going to be in the match. It's just, my thing is, if it's not him, then for one, who is it going to be? And two, what else are you going to do? You're going to make another interference, like another interference scenario or something? I mean, who comes out and interferes? Wyatt Six? Another Bloodline member? Who else is going to interfere at this point? That's why I say, just pull the trigger, man. Pull the trigger.
Well, that we shall see. In other news, we saw Lyra Valkyria backstage saying that, you know, she intends to be Mrs. Money in the Bank when the time comes, and she was attacked by Io Sky. Those two are set off to face off next Monday. That's going to be another banger. The first match was great, so I'm looking forward to that one. And then we had our main event. We saw, before I get to the main event, I don't know if you noticed, but Karrion Kross is trying to plant those seeds in the New Day and split them up. Is there a world where you see the New Day splitting up? You know,
man, I always thought that group was going to stay together at least until Big E came back, at least until either Big E came back or until they just retired, man, because I don't really see that group breaking up. Like, I just don't see it happening, but that's just one of those stories where you just got to wait and see what happens. And then when it happens, I guess we can cover it, you know, and give our takes on it. But just right now, I'm going to let that simmer. I'm just going to just let it cook. I'm gonna let it cook.
It got my interest. It's definitely in the back of my head. Looking forward to, you know, but I'd be interested to see, like, if we ever got, like, you know, Kofi Kingston versus Xavier Woods. Me personally, I don't want it to happen. I hope they be like one of the few tag teams that never break up, but
right,
you know, we'll see. And then for our main event, we saw Damian Priest versus Rey Mysterio. This was a good match. Damian Priest came out on top with the victory, and as he was about to celebrate, Drew McIntyre came out, attacked him, and then Drew McIntyre keeps having the same problems. Every time he has his eyes set on the World Heavyweight Championship, it's always somebody else to interfere. He was then attacked by the rest of the Judgment Day, which allowed Damian Priest to, you know, capitalize, put him through the announce table. So, like, with Clash at the Castle a week away, it's interesting to see, you know, who walks out of that pay-per-view, especially because they're in Drew's hometown, if Damian Priest will still have that championship.
Like, I don't want to see it happen, but, I mean, hey, I guess just can't force the inevitable, man. It's going to happen. Like, I don't want to see it happen, but unfortunately, the odds are not in Drew's favor right now. Because what's going to happen right now is the SummerSlam. They trying to build this program around SummerSlam with Drew and CM Punk. That's the only thing, man. Like, CM Punk just becomes, like, a bane of Drew McIntyre's existence at this point. Like, It's gonna come down to that. Like, and man, Punk not even gonna let Drew McIntyre have his shine, bro. But hey, that's Drew's fault. You shouldn't have been trolling online, bro. You shouldn't have been trolling online, man.
Hey, I definitely have some theories about that, But y'all gonna have to tune in on next week's podcast to see my predictions for Clash at the Castle. Being that we mentioned Jey Uso, you know, basically declaring that he wants to be Money in the Bank, and Lyra Valkyria saying that she wants to be Mrs. Money in the Bank, we're gonna have our special edition of Top 5.
Top 5, no debating. Top 5, top 5, top 5.
So this edition of Top 5 is money, potential Money in the Bank winners. So we got the men's and we got the women's. We're gonna do women's first, and as always, Mr. Xander, you take it away. Who do you think is gonna win, or who would you like to see win? Who are the top five people for the women's Money in the Bank?
My take on the women's, so for number five, gotta go with Lyra Valkyria. I mean, hey, she already announced herself. I mean, I'm like, same case with Jey Uso. She might have to qualify. I mean, I don't know if they're just going off of word of mouth. But if she has to qualify, she's probably going to qualify. And then as far as I could see it, you know, with her getting that contract, I mean, it's a possibility. I mean, if you put the contract on her now, though, she has to be put in the conversation as breakout star of the year, because she did all this in a matter of a couple of months. Number four, got to go with Bianca Belair. If she's in the match, gotta put her. She might, you know, might be a double champ. You know what I mean, you could put her, you could kind of put that scenario out there. And plus, she also has unfinished business with Bayley. I don't know if they ever squashed they beef. So you can kind of build something off that. So now I'm seeing Bianca Belair. My third will be Jade Cargill. Same reasons, double champ. Hey, might as well. I mean, there's not much to say about that. Number two. Who can I say? I wouldn't be surprised if Dakota Kai wants to get the Money in the Bank contract. That would kind of be shocking. I wouldn't be surprised right there. But what's going to be shocking to you is my number one, who I think is going to be Miss Money in the Bank yet again, Io Sky. I could see her becoming a Miss Money in the Bank 2 years in a row like CM Punk did. So, hey, you never know.
That'd be something. That'd be crazy. You definitely surprised me with the two.
Yeah.
With your one and two. For me, I'm gonna go with Blair Davenport. You know, she's yet to debut. I just feel like for her to get a start, it would be in the Money in the Bank match. And I feel like, you know, if you want to build a future star, that's the way to do it. Number four, I'm going to go Jade Cargill. I feel like she's just a good candidate for obvious reasons. And then that'll kind of help build like a jealous storyline between her and Bianca. Maybe Bianca might cost her the briefcase. I don't know. You could do a lot with that if Jade won. Number three, I'm going to go with Lyra Valkyria. Out of all like the women outside of like Liv and Nia Jax, she's probably like on the hottest run right now. Number two, I'm surprised you didn't say this, but I got to go with Tiffany Stratton, man. I just feel like she's a great candidate. Like, she's, like, perfect for the Money in the Bank.
I wanted to save like, that one just... for you, so you're welcome. You're welcome.
And number one, hey, I appreciate it. Save me some shine. I appreciate it. Number one, I'm going to go with Rhea Ripley. I could see her coming back, you know, by this time, and like that'll be a good
addition. But see, now you see, if I say something, you gonna say that I'm out here fantasy booking. You know what I mean? But
go ahead. This what the pod for.
One thing that I would not be like mad about is that they kind of pull like a little scenario that they did like when Mustafa Ali, when he was about to get the briefcase and then Brock came out. What if like EO or someone's going up to get the briefcase and then here comes out Rhea Ripley's music. It comes out, chases out, pushes him off the ladder and then take the briefcase.
I can see it.
That'd be some crazy stuff. And then even cash in on the same night, or so either cash in on the same night or cash in like on Monday Night Raw or something. You know what I mean? Like the first Raw back.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see it. That'd be great. Like, or like maybe Liv is defending the championship that night, and then she just cashes it in that night. Like
But then again, though, that's happened with too many cash-ins on the women's side. They cash in on like either the same night, or they cash in like on the Monday Night Raw after Money in the Bank.
Hey, since we fantasy booking, I done came up with an idea. Triple H, if you listening, which I know you are, use Dominic Mysterio as a setup guy, bruh. Have him lure Liv down to the ring. Have mommy come out, surprise attack, cash in the briefcase, and then now she is your women's champion again. And then Dom gonna look all confused because we still not gonna know whose side he on, and we don't know if he really wanted that to happen or not. So,
she cashes in on Liv Morgan, right? And then Dom comes out thinking everything's sweet, and then he gets ripped off. That'd be some crazy stuff right there.
See, like, I'm hoping that she's healed by then, because there'll be so many different avenues you could, you know, go with that.
She's gonna be a full-on face, though. Like, she was already over. Yeah. She was on her way out. So she's coming back as a baby face, no doubt.
She definitely is. Liv is definitely, like, making her to be a face for sure.
Yeah.
But with that being said, we're going to get into the men's Money in the Bank potential winners. Now, I know you always complain about me not going first. Do you want me to go first, or do you want to go first?
You can go first.
All right.
I'll let you go first.
So number five, I know... Number five, I'm gonna go with Bron Breakker. I could really see it, and you know he mad about not being in the King of the Ring tournament. So I think Adam Pearce doesn't make the same mistake again and not include him in the Money in the Bank qualifying match. I could really see that. Number four, like personally, as far as storyline, I'm gonna go with Solo. Like, I feel like, you know, that would just unlock so many different things. Like I said on the pod last week, I could see, you know, him trying to cash in on Cody and Roman Reigns or The Rock come down, you know, and say, give me the contract. That'll be interesting. Number three, I'm going to go Logan Paul. I feel like Logan Paul, he would do great with it. Like, he would do great work with it. So I can see that. Number two, I gotta go with LA Knight. I just feel like it should have been his time. He should have won last year, personally. But, you know, it is what it is. And number one, I gotta go with main event Jey Uso, because why not? It's his time. He need a singles championship. You know, so why not now? All you.
What I got for number five. So my number five and my number four are going to be the same. It's going to be like, they're going to correlate with each other. And it's pretty much going to have the same reasoning. My number five, my number four is going to be Tonga Loa and Tama Tonga. Now I say this because you can put the Money in the Bank contracts on both of them, right? Hear me out now. You can put the Money in the Bank contract on either one of them and they could just automatically just give it to Solo. And then Solo is the Money in the Bank at that point. And then, so that was my five and my four. So for number three, I got to go with L.A. Knight. Yeah. That dude right there should have, like you said, should have won. That was my pick last year. It was no, Damian Priest was literally at the bottom. I was not thinking about Damian Priest, bro. I said L.A. Knight all day. L.A. Knight, like that. That was my pick right there last year. My number two. this is going to be a shocker. And I know it's not going to happen, but it's just fantasy booking. Roman Reigns. Now hear me out. He wins the contract. Gets his championship back. Now see, this is a lot coming from me because I'm being told I'm a Cody crybaby. So there y'all go. So y'all can be quiet. Y'all can shut the hell up. I'm just like, alright. And my number one pick. Gotta go main event Jey Uso. It just goes off what I was saying earlier in the pod. Pull the trigger. Pull the damn trigger. That's all I'm gonna say. Nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Shoot, if Gunther didn't have a title shot guaranteed already, he would have been my number one.
Yeah.
But I got a question for you.
What's up?
I've been hinting at it ever since we started this podcast, but you always, talk it down and be like, next topic, moving on. Why you don't want Dominic Mysterio to win the Money in the Bank?
I don't want Dominic Mysterio to win the Money in the Bank. I mean, I'm not even hating. I'm just like, I mean, he's already got a lot going on right now. He doesn't need the Money in the Bank contract. Plus, he's kayfabe hurt, right? Or real injured? I don't know. But he's in a position right now where he doesn't need a championship and he doesn't need a contract. This dude is winning in life. He don't need no contract. He don't need no contract to solidify that ish, yo. This man is winning in life right now. So yes, that's why I don't see Dominic winning the main event. Now, I wouldn't mind him seeing winning the main event contract, but that's just like having a team with a bunch of 99 overall players on 2K. You don't need it. It's just like, bro, what more do you need?
Oh man. So we got some interesting news to get into. Not news necessarily, but interesting quotes. The first one comes from Elias, who says, originally, the Monday Night Messiah gimmick that was eventually given to Seth Rollins was actually his idea, but they ended up giving it to Seth Rollins and AOP. Is this something that, would have set up Elias, for the main event scene in the long run?
I believe it was his idea. The proof's in the pudding. I mean, outside of wrestling, I mean, he's a religious guy. So It just makes sense that was his idea and his gimmick. And that would have fit perfectly on Elias. Like, even the theme song. You can even give him the theme song and it'll fit perfectly with him. Like, it just matches him. Like, I mean, yeah, like the whole guitar thing he was doing and the Ezekiel thing. I mean, well, nah. Yeah, okay, Ezekiel was just, nah. Hell nah.
About to say.
the Elias thing, okay, that was good. But that Messiah gimmick would have skyrocketed him. It would have took him to that next level. That right there would have been that like good old refresh that a lot of the wrestlers be needing to kind of like succeed and break through that ceiling. That would have been it for him. I think that would have been it for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's always going to be, like, his career isn't over, I don't think, but he's always going to be, like, one of those what-if guys, because he was riding on a wave of momentum. Like, he was getting, like, heat from the crowds, like, the same heat that Dom is getting. He was kind of getting, like, a little bit less than that, but he was still getting, like, a lot of heat, and they should have put that Intercontinental title championship on him, for sure. Like, back then when he was, like, up there, like, at least I feel like that personally. But, back then, WWE was booked by, a completely different, like, team and everything. And speaking of that, Randy Orton came out and said that he personally loves that Vince McMahon is, not around anymore. And that's not to say that he didn't like Vince McMahon, because obviously Vince put him in, a lot of great positions in his career. But he was basically saying off the fact, like, when he was hurt or he felt like, he wants to spend time with his kids. Like, it was automatic no. And so he's kind of happy that, WWE is like Vince McMahon moved on. What are your thoughts on Randy and this quote?
Yeah, man, I mean, this new era that they're rolling in on right now, like, there's a lot of wrestlers that you can build on. Like, you can build a foundation on just by how they're booked, like, right now. Like, it's to a point where we don't necessarily need to have a Randy Orton week in and week out to carry the whole roster, or like a John Cena or Jeff Hardy's, you know, these types of people, the Triple H's, Shawn Michaels, like, these are the types of people that you needed on the cards to really carry. And they didn't really have, I mean, some of the mid-card people they had, like, in WWE around the time I was watching, like, in 05, 06, they had people like Orlando Jordan, Rene Dupree, like, these are the type of people that they didn't really get a lot of shine, you know what I mean? But I'm pretty sure, like, with this era that they're having, like, you pretty much are your own limit. Like, if you can honestly get over yourself, I'm pretty sure they're going to hear you out. And as far as the time off thing, yeah, that's really good. Like, the fact that, you know, because being a family man myself, like, I would like to, you know, if there's a chance, if I can take off, I mean, from being off, because these people are on the road, like, what, 300, 400 days out the year? No, 200, 300 days out the year? So, yeah, it's just, like, that's a blessing. I mean, hey, and plus it's a recovery for some people in the WWE, they do need it sometimes. They sometimes do need that little bit of, like, you know, that recovery. Because, you know, that wrestling hurts. You know what I mean? It hurts.
Yeah.
So, I'm not surprised, man. I'm not surprised Randy Orton likes it now with Triple H in charge and stuff, because this wrestling is hurt.
Hey, you know, one thing that, like, hit this quote and, like, kind of what you were saying made me realize, like, if you look at this new era, a lot of, like, the top superstars, like, even though, like, you know, a lot of people are hurt right now, but a lot of people aren't wrestling, like, every week. Like, look at Cody. You know, he's not wrestling every SmackDown, but he'll still, like, show up. Gunther, he's getting a little break now. Jey Uso, he's getting a little break now. Like, right. So they're, like, with that, they're...
And, like, my thing is, too, like, they're kind of... I mean, I wouldn't say they're kind of cutting down on it, but, like, as far as, like, the live shows, they're kind of getting a break for the live shows. Because at the end of the day, you still got to do house shows. You still got house shows you got to do. And you still got dark matches. Some of those main card wrestlers that we was mentioning, Gunther, Cody Rhodes, Jey Uso and all them, they still wrestle dark matches outside at the end of Raw and SmackDown when the cameras turn off. So, I mean, they still kind of, in essence, get that break, though, but, yeah.
Before we head on out of here, we got a big PLE this Sunday and involving NXT Battleground. So we're going to make our predictions. Before I do that, NXT this week was basically the go-home show for NXT Battleground, in which, you know, Ethan Page signed his NXT contract, which came with the championship match versus Trick Williams. We saw all six participants in the Women's North American Championship match get into a brawl in a six-woman tag. We saw Jordynne Grace make her NXT debut with a victory over Stevie Turner, as she looks to face Roxanne Perez. And looking at this card, we're going to start with the NXT Underground match between Shayna Baszler and Lola Vice. Who are you picking in this matchup?
Lola Vice, all day. Come on, man. I just think, you know what I mean? She's the new one. And she, just like Shayna Baszler, she got the MMA background. But I think, you know, after watching some of her highlights, you know, MMA highlights, I mean, hey, she might get the upper hand. I kind of think that they really might, you know, throw in some, like, they kind of might add a little bit of, like realness to it. You know what I mean? I sincerely hope that they do that. Because, I mean, they both know how to fight. So, I mean, they're not going to kill each other. You know what I mean? So, just let, like, you can even do small things, like, have them don't like don't have them kind of like, you know, with their fists, like have them close their fists a little bit, you know what I mean? Some stuff like that, you know what I mean? Some little things like that could probably go a long way.
Yeah, they could strap on the gloves for sure.
Yeah, Lola Vice all day getting, yeah, she definitely beating Shayna.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Lola.
Are they going to do it in the octagon too? Because they are going to be in the UFC area.
Oh, I'm not sure. I just know it's an underground match. But I'm going to go with Lola Vice too. The NXT North American Championship match is going to be, the championship going to be on the line in the triple threat match. Champion Oba Femi versus West Lee versus Joe Coffey. Who are you picking to come out on top?
This run that Oba Femi's on, I don't see it ending no time soon right now. He's retaining this. He gonna retain the championship. Yeah, he retaining.
I'ma say Gallus Boys on top, and I see Joe Coffey getting that North American championship.
Yeah, not wrong there. But hey, at least we both know who ain't winning championship. Wesley.
Which I hate to see it because he was a great North American champion. But
yeah. Hey, look though, shout out Wesley, man. But look, it ain't it, man.
Yeah.
Too much powerhouse going on around you, dog. It just ain't.
Right.
It ain't gonna happen right now, G.
So moving on to the potential match of the night, the NXT Women's North American Championship match to crown the inaugural champion. I'll name off the participants, and you can just tell me who you think going to win. Sol Ruka,
yeah.
Lash Legend, Jada Parker, Fallon Henley, Kalani Jordan, and Meechan.
I got to go. So I got two. Got to go.
I said two.
So Sol Ruka, Meechan. I see either one of them taking it. Like, I ain't going to lie. Because Sol Ruka's already the fan favorite. And then you got Meechan, she's the veteran. And it would make sense, you know, give a veteran that championship to start off. That's the first champion that already has a little bit of status on it. Give it to Sol Ruka. I mean, hey, you got a fan favorite carrying that championship. So let's see what she can do. But yeah, that's my two that I got. Who you got?
I didn't know who's picking two. I'm just saying,
like, that's who I see, like, evenly. Like, I mean, to be honest, though, like, if I had to pick one, then yes, I gotta go Sol Ruka. She's the fan favorite. All right, go ahead.
Yeah. Nah, I was gonna pick two people, too. Like, you made it easier on me. That's why I said that. But, nah, I agree. Sol Ruka. Especially because they kind of foreshadowing, like, a program with her and JC Jane. So that could be like her first contender. And then I also think Fallon Henley, she recently turned heel. So I think, you know, this could be the payoff for that. That's why I feel like, you know, of the six, it'll be one of those two for sure. I'm surprised you didn't say Kalani Jordan. I'm not going to lie, you know.
I mean, hey, your top five. I mean, she, right now, she's the wild card. Like, I wouldn't be mad if it was her that got the win. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? I'd be like, hey, congratulations. You won the championship. But, I mean, like I said, just them two, I just see them winning it right now. But I wouldn't be mad if Kalani won, you know what I mean? She the wild card in this whole situation. Everybody's sleeping on her right now. So, hey, you never know with her. You can already tell that she probably gonna do like all the like the big spots. They're gonna depend on her to do all the big spots, like she was doing in the eliminator match and all that. So
it's gonna be her and Meechan.
Huh?
Yeah, it's gonna be her and Meechan doing all the big spots for sure.
Yeah, most definitely.
But so then we got the NXT Tag Team Championship match with champions Axiom and Nathan Frazier versus the OC. Who are you picking?
I'm going to go with the OC. I'm gonna go with the OC. I would not be surprised if the OC went down to NXT and won them NXT Tag Team Championships. And I wouldn't even be mad at it.
I'm gonna agree. Seeing that they about to realign with AJ Styles, they gonna need a little gold on their shoulder. So that's why I'm gonna roll with the OC on this one too. No disrespect to Axiom, Nathan Frazier. They're actually an exciting tag team to watch, but you know the OC, they just like that. So now, the NXT Women's Championship match, NXT Women's Champion Roxanne Perez, TNA Knockouts Champion Jordynne Grace, who walks out NXT Women's Champion?
Roxanne Perez.
You don't think Jordynne Grace?
They're not going to – I just don't see them having a TNA Knockout coming in and taking their belt. But, hey, I could be wrong. But one thing that is for sure is that they are going to give Jordynne Grace the grace to do, you know, the things that she can do in that ring. They're going to give her a good little, you know, because they probably going to throw in a good little 15-minute match, 10 to 15-minute match, probably even more. Maybe even like a 25 or 20-minute match. Who knows? And they just do their stuff. But no, I don't see Jordynne Grace getting that.
I agree. I'm going to go with Roxanne Perez for the same reasons, you know. And then the main event, the NXT Championship champion Trick Williams put his title on the line against All Ego Ethan Page.
Gotta go. I got it, man. You know what, bro? This right here is just going to be my wild card pick for the day. Gotta go with Ethan Page, bro.
Ethan Page?
It's his debut match, and what better way is it, you know, to slap AEW in the face and to throw the NXT championship on the face? That'd be a slap to the face right there, yo. That's all I gotta say.
I ain't gonna lie, Ethan Page had me sold when he looked into the camera and he said, "Whoop that trick." Yeah, I'm about to. Like, that told me right there he gonna be something. But yeah, even though with all that said, I gotta go with Trick Willie, man. Trick Williams at NXT Battleground, right? Main event, title on the line.
Did you just say Trick Willie?
Yeah, that's what they call him.
Willie, why you Trick Willie? Like that? Trick Willie.
Come on, bro. Don't do that, bro.
All right.
Don't do that. But yeah, Trick Williams in the main event, he gonna whoop that trick. But yeah, since this man want to clown, we're going to go ahead and get up on out of here. We appreciate all the support for sure. We ask that you like, share, comment, and subscribe. That'll be a big help to the pod. You know, if you're listening to us on a podcast platform, we ask that you just subscribe to the pod, follow the pod, give us a star rating. Or, you know, just honest feedback would be grateful too. You know, if you think we cool, you think we boring, whatever you think, you know, we like to hear it to help us improve, get better. Anything you want to say before we head on out of here?
Man, this is the first edition of the pod where I really have nothing else right now. I ain't got no announcements, no nothing right now. So, hey, how about you close it off this time? We're going to do things a little different. You're going to close this out. So, do you have anything that you want to add?
Nah, I ain't got anything in particular, man. I just hope everybody that's watching stay blessed, man. You know, every challenge that comes your way, man, I hope you get through it. And, you know, I hope that one day me, Xander, we be up so we can bring everybody with us, man. And with that said, we out.
And that is courtesy of Mr. All-in-One from the 6-3-1. Alan, Xander, y'all have a good day.
Trip forever and I'm just not getting started. That's the one. Yeah.